Hey guys, welcome to The Butter Dish. I'm Natalie Dulaney.
And I'm Heidi Ballard.
And today we're joined by Michaela of LYB Nutrition.
Yay! Hi, Michaela.
So, hi. Michaela, tell us what LYB stands for and a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I originally started LYB. Actually, I started this account called Love Your Body Journey in like 2016 when I was still fad dieting, when I still knew nothing about nutrition. I wasn't certified. Like a total little baby in this arena. And I just, even then, which was kind of like adorable for me now, because even then I was like, regardless, you need to love your body through the journey. Like you can't get anywhere if you hate yourself. So that's kind of where it started. And then as I kind of evolved, I just started shortening it to just like love your body. And then it was like love your body nutrition. And then I shortened it to LYB nutrition. And then in the past year, I think that we've all kind of understood that loving your body isn't necessarily something that is attainable all the time. And so I kind of leaned more into the LYB standing for living your best. And so lately it's kind of been love your body, live your best is kind of the LYB motto now. So it's had a lot of renditions, but it originally started when I still wholeheartedly believe that you should love, appreciate, respect, whatever, your body through the process of trying to get healthy and lose weight and change it. So that's kind of how that started.
So yeah. That's fantastic. How did you come to this? I mean, it's an amazing, powerful belief, which we totally align with. How did you come to it? How did you decide you can't get anywhere without loving yourself?
I was raised in like kind of the generation, or maybe it was just my parents, of super tough love becoming motivating. And so I actually did a post not too long ago about, are you being motivational or are you being mean? And I think that there's a big difference, between being mean to yourself as a cue for motivation. And after years and years and years of just always being mean, essentially, and when I say that, I mean like, you're at the gym and you don't want to be there. And you're like, well, do you still want to be fat? That's why you need to be here. Versus like, you know what? I know this is hard, but your body always appreciates when you're here. So just get it done. And if you really, really hate it after 15 minutes, go home and you're not a failure.
Totally. Or like even the new iteration of like, oh, I'm disappointed with X, Y, and Z, this picture of myself, my scale weight or whatever. And then it's like, you shouldn't talk to yourself like that. Like the new way of using your own self-awareness against you. Like yes. I should feel good all the time. I should love my, like you were saying, love my body all the time.
Right. And I would actually love to put a pin in that because I have a whole thing about pictures,
okay,
but that's, yeah, I think that I kind of grew up with this really being mean to myself thing. And I don't really know what clicked, but I just kind of was sick of it. And I was like, you know what, you've tried it for this long. It hasn't gone anywhere. So maybe you should try loving yourself while you're going through all of this instead. And it would probably be a lot easier. And I still went through all the fad diets and all the MLM diets and all the crazy things regardless, but at least during the process, I still tried to find things I liked about myself. So
that's fantastic.
Like, what's that one thing you always say, Heidi? I love when you say that, like, if I could like hate myself to a place of like self-acceptance and love, like I would be like an ultra wise, like supermodel a long time ago. I kind of love what you said there because like motivational versus mean, I think I would love for us to take a little bit of time even defining what that looks like because you're right. I think we had this time in lives where like you'd have people posting pictures on the refrigerator, like, open this fridge and you're not going to look like this, or they feel like their self-loathing can be motivational and kind of inspirational. Like you don't like yourself how you are. So if you worked harder, then you'd really feel great about yourself.
Totally. Or even like, I accomplished this thing and like, oh really? Oh, that's so impressive. Like, oh, give me a break, you know, that kind of a thing.
Right. Or even like, you're so ugly. So you need to do this.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Totally.
Yeah. And I think actually it's so funny you say that because the fridge thing, I think we also kind of had the Pinterest thing going on for a while, which thank God they've changed things there. But, you know, it was like a moment on the lips, forever on the hips, like, and things to put as your like screensaver so that when you're at a barbecue, you didn't want to eat something.
Totally. Or like you have to do this many sit-ups to make up for this Twinkie or whatever.
Yeah. The Thanksgiving workouts. I'm like, I'm not working out on Thanksgiving. Thanks though. Like,
gosh, how do you think that maybe we've actually turned Instagram into the fridge and the Pinterest board? I think women deliberately follow certain influencers because they fill their feed with these bodies or these AKA body goals, air quotes, that will be inspiring.
Yes. Like, oh, I want to be that.
Right. Like if I look at it enough, then I will somehow meld my life into this, or if I copy the way she eats or the way she works out or the way her house looks. We're the worst.
So I feel like, and I'm in marketing, so I learned all about marketing in school when I went to college. And, you know, there's a reason that for a long time they were only using specific models to sell clothing, because it was selling the idea that if you wore those pieces of clothing, you would look like that.
Right. Because the clothes make the man.
Yeah.
Right.
And so it's the same thing with Instagram, where one of my first things I tell a client that's struggling with body image is clean up your feed. And a great example I like to use is that I am somebody who has ridiculously long legs. Like, my femurs go for days, and my torso is like, there's barely enough room for my organs. And so this is crazy. Like, I swear sometimes like my ribs get stuck on my hips, but so if I only follow, regardless of size, regardless of weight, anything like that, prettiness, hair, whatever, if I only follow people who have super long torsos that distribute their upper body fat in that way, I'm never going to feel like I'm enough. And it wouldn't matter what body fat percentage I was at. Like, it's always going to be this unsustainable, unrealistic comparison. And when you start filling your feed with people that actually kind of look like you, you no longer feel like you're trying to attain a certain thing, because you're like, oh wow. Like, if anything, I'm like following people and I'm like, dang, her squat is like so nice.
Oh my gosh. Totally. Right. I love that. And that actually reminds me of another thing that you have always said about talking about like your stock parts, just sort of ties into what you were saying. Like, no matter where you are in the journey, like so your point about the stock parts is like, what does your, like, when you buy a car, like, what options does it come loaded with, right? Like, you can customize it. And what's great about you? Like, what are your stock parts that are original, you know, that are specific to you?
Like, your base model, like, you have ultra long legs. You didn't have to do anything for those. It's almost like kind of like, what are our genetic gifts and our genetic blessings that I think we dismiss because we're like, oh, well, I just don't like this about myself. But we don't ever take time to, like, sit and think about the amazing things that we come standard with.
Yeah.
That we don't actually do anything for.
Well, totally. And we've all been conditioned to focus on the flaws, fix the flaws. It's never celebrate the good things, right? And like, enjoy those. No. You must fix yourself.
Right. And there's never any kind of like indication of nobody talks about genetics, right? And so nobody's talking about those stock parts that you just come with. And my sister and I share genetics, and my sister and I could not look any more different. And so I think that's just a reminder too, that even people you share genetics with, you can still look so different from that. Our body types are just completely different. And it's something I actually wish, I know you guys have some younger listeners on your podcast, which I love. And it's something I wish I would have known in high school, that I was comparing myself to like my best friends at the time when they really actually had pretty short legs and really long torsos. So in a swimsuit, I looked a lot different in a swimsuit than they did. And it's funny, cause I'm sure now they're like, oh gosh, I would kill for your legs. And you know, and I'm like, I would kill for your torso. But if I had a long torso and long legs, I'd look pretty funny. So it's one of those things where you can't have it all. You have to realize what you do have and know that every single person you're looking at on Instagram, even the people who look like you, have some kind of genetic gift, that you have a gift somewhere else. And so
Yes. And comparing.
It's funny. Like, you think that would be obvious to most of us. Like, you have a sister, Heidi's got two sisters, I've got five sisters, and we all look so different, but in our minds we're like, oh no.
Oh, totally.
I should be able to have everything that I see out there. And really, but you're like, look at the composite of your family and all the bodies in it. And you literally have the same parents.
Well,
literally.
It's so funny. It's so funny. I think we've said that already 100 times, but it is so funny because I was just texting with one of my sisters this morning about those DNA tests that you can do. I have never really looked into them, and she's had hers done. And I was like, well, wouldn't we be the same? Like, we have the same genealogy, but it's about the different expression, right? And that's so you do have different, even though the same genealogy, you do have different DNA than even your siblings.
I didn't even know that you could actually be more of one than the other. Like, I had no idea that, like, so my children are half Caucasian. I didn't realize that you could actually be more white and more Asian. Like, your kids could be like, they could have like 80% Chinese and like 20% white. And then you could have like the opposite, like a kid who's 80% white and 20% Chinese. And I'm like, that makes so much sense. Like, why do I always think it's 50-50?
I don't, why wouldn't you?
Or that every single time you have a baby, all the DNA is exactly the same and identical. And you do, you have families and all their kids look alike, they're all the same height. They're all, you know, and then you're like, okay, those are some pretty intense genes there. But then why don't we think of that with people? Like, we look different for a reason, and thank heavens that we look, there's so much variety, but yet we never celebrate the variety. I kind of want to backtrack a little bit to cleaning up your feed. I think that I would love to spend some time talking about that. And you said you have a whole rant about pictures. I would love to talk about that too, because I do agree with you. I think that when you fill your feed with people who not necessarily look similar to you, but have similar
values
and shapes and things, then you're actually inspired about the potential for you. Like, we have some girls who are 6 feet tall in our program. So go find those 6 feet tall girls.
Yes.
And then on the other side of it, you have girls who follow these 6 foot tall girls and they're like 5'1" and they don't know why they can't look lean and long. Mm-hmm. And like, they're like, I want that long, lean toned body. And you're like, you literally have like less limb length.
Right.
It's not even about what's achievable for your body. Like, she is like 8 inches taller than you. Her limbs are going to be taller, longer, everything. Yes. So automatically she is going to look long and lean just purely by how tall she is. Yes. But I think a lot of people like, they don't get that. They think, oh, this is achievable for me. It's like, you're missing about 9 inches or 8 inches or whatever.
Well, totally. And not only are you comparing yourself to those aesthetics and whatever, but a lot of times when they mention specifics, like their scale weight, their calorie intake, that can play some massive games with your head as well. I mean, following someone who weighs significantly less than you and she's struggling with her weight, do you get to feel good about the way you're at if it's more? Like, it can be a very toxic message that we don't necessarily consciously think or hear, but we feel.
Right. And similarly, I know you guys have on your other podcast about like the weight that's on the scale. What is it? What's the number that comes on?
Oh, like scale? What 126.8.
Yes. And it's like, I feel like I grew up thinking I was supposed to be under a certain weight because that's like what all my friends were.
We all
and
did.
I will never forget. It was like my OB one day was like, by the way, you should never be under 150 pounds, like ever. You probably actually are healthier around 160. And I, like, my mind was blown because here I was trying to be like 130.
Yeah. Can she just
she taking new patients?
Right. Can she also just like duplicate her around the world? Because I feel like it's always the opposite. Everyone's getting hit with the BMI chart and hit with these like, oh, so you might want to blah, 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 blah. Right.
My doctor told me that my leg reminded her of loaves of Wonder Bread.
Well, like, I mean, they're wonderful.
Yeah,
they're wonderful.
That's probably what she meant.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You mean like defined, like the top of the Wonder Bread's?
Yeah, let's go with that. Yeah, yeah.
The weight thing is so interesting too, because you have these women who, let's just say taller, for example, and I love like Danielle Wilson. She's like 6 feet tall and like 215. Yes. And I think women hear
normalizing.
Women hear then like the 200s as like, this is terrible. This is horrible. I cannot possibly be in that weight range. And you realize like, it's just a number.
Yes.
Like her, she's incredibly athletic. Her composition is fantastic. Like, she is like, I'm glad it's just a number because I really don't care. So I think you have sometimes these girls who are, you know, 5'10 and up, and they think that they need to weigh the same as someone who's 5'1 or 5'2.
Totally.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, you know, yes, the scale does not matter, but I'm like, listen, my femurs are huge and they're like the biggest bone in the body. Like, of course they're going to weigh so much more than even maybe a tall person my height who has more of a torso, you know? And that's kind of the thing, is that this height, weight, like the proportions of people is so, so different. And
yes,
it's so different than me and my sister. My sister's kind of like a twig, right? Like, she has the thigh gap, the like straight everything. And I know she wishes she had curves a little bit more, where I do. You know, you always have that sister rivalry thing a little bit, but I also know that for her, she's always been way more athletic. Her, you know, her ability to do cardio and endurance is so much higher than mine. She has no fear. She'll go rock climbing and do all kinds of stuff that I won't do. But the flip side of that is that if she was in a gym trying to build muscle, it would be so much harder for her to build muscle than it is for me. And I think that we don't want to get that into a, you know, that mean versus motivating, like, well, she can't have that and you can, but it is important again to understand your gifts and that sometimes your body type creates other things to be easier for you. And if you had someone else's body type that maybe is a little bit more accepted by society, which makes it hard, you might not actually get to do the things that you're doing right now in your body. And so body appreciation goes so much farther than what your body looks like. And it's more about what your body can do, but it flips back around that, can your body only do that because of the way it looks, you know? And I think that's super important.
Yeah. It's like, she can have that, but I can have this too. It's like, they just might not be the same exact thing.
Totally.
We all can, like, we all have things available to us. We all have strengths, we have weaknesses. And it, that's what makes things interesting, because can you imagine if all of us, like, all you can do is do ballet, everybody. some of us would be seriously struggling.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Or yes. Before when we thought everybody has to be a runner. And then mm-hmm. you realize like, no, the people who are great at running are actually built to be great runners.
Yes.
And variety is the spice of life. I think it's so fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about pictures. I want to hear your rant about pictures because I think we have an idea that kind of goes with that too, kind of along with pictures, whether it's before and afters and things like that, as well as like how helpful is it when people do share these pictures? And what Heidi was saying earlier, that sometimes you have these before and afters, and we do have women who would give anything to be a before of some of these people that post them. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear this. Let's do this.
Okay. So I'm going to back out of the social feed for a second and just talk about like, you're going with your family to the lake, wherever, and you guys take a picture and you see it and your whole day gets ruined. Like that kind of body image issue with photos. So couple of things. The most groundbreaking thing I like to tell people is you don't actually know what you look like. You don't. You have no clue.
So true.
You're relying on mirrors. You're relying on reflections. You're relying on what other people are telling you. You're relying on cameras that have multiple different variables with lighting and angles and the way that the camera is. You know, is it zoomed out into that fishbowl look? I mean, have you ever seen pictures of a house and then you go to the house and you're like, dang, this is not what I thought.
Oh, that just happened to me in Chicago. I was like, wow, you got a good photographer because this place is the size of a freaking shoebox and it looks very spacious.
And we just need a blanket statement out there that everyone thinks they're super subjective about the way they look. You are absolutely not
objective. Not at all.
All you need to do is like do that revert thing on your camera.
And you're just like, you know, it's like the bane of her existence.
The bane of my existence because whenever I'm on Zoom, I see myself a certain way. And then whenever I watch it play back, I'm like, that's not my face, even though it is, but it's a mirror image. But that also just plays to the fact that we are not all symmetrical either.
Oh. And we have no clue, right? Like that revert thing is what everybody else sees us at. And we're like, oh my gosh. selfies.
Totally. And I feel like one of the things I most commonly hear when people have picture disappointment is, I didn't think I looked like that. Like that's not how I felt at that moment. That's not what I thought I looked like.
Yes.
And it's like, you're letting this one, to your point, like this one limited picture rewrite history.
Right. And to be honest, I think there's two points to that because you, and in life overall, and that's kind of that whole like living your best thing. Part of living your best is the actual living part of it, not what you're documenting of it. So the actual living, the being present, did you enjoy yourself? Did you care about your body at the lake until you saw that picture? Do you know, like what kind of take yourself out of that and realize what's happening at the actual moment? I felt beautiful, like the most beautiful person ever on my wedding day. And there's a handful of pictures that I would look at and be like, that is not what I looked like that
today. Oh my gosh.
And it's not how I felt either. But the other thing is that we all have, right? Like I used to call it like outfit disappointment, or I think there's like a meme that's like, you know, when you have an outfit pictured in your head, then you put it on and you look like a potato. Like I think that happens a lot where we get a cute outfit. We envision our family photos and what that outfit's going to look like. And what we're actually envisioning are all these influencers that aren't our body type. We're envisioning Pinterest boards that aren't our body type. All this kind of stuff that was like what it looked like on the model or what that, you know, even if it's like in front of the Eiffel Tower and you imagine every single influencer's pictures in front of the Eiffel Tower, you take your picture, it looks nothing like it. And it shouldn't, right? Like who wants to look at the exact same picture of the Eiffel Tower of thousands of people? But that's kind of what happens is that we have this idea of what that picture is supposed to look like before it's even developed, right? Old school term, but before it's even shown up in front of us, we've already decided what that picture is supposed to look like. So of course it's going to be a disappointment. I mean, it would be like going into your job and having your boss already have expectations for what you're supposed to do, not tell you them. And then by the end of the day, when you did what you wanted to do that day, your boss is like, well, you didn't meet any of my expectations. So you're a disappointment to me. It's like, you don't.
Or expecting yourself to go in on the first day and like not break a sweat. Nobody's going to have any criticisms for you. Nobody's going to have any opinions about what you do. You're going to be 100% confident in any scenario. It's like, can you experience the negative emotion? Because sometimes our emotions are a triggered response, right? Like we look at the picture, we feel the disappointment. And it's not that you want to gaslight yourself into a more positive place, but acknowledge like, oh, I'm feeling sad right now. Like, and that was a really fun time. So which one, which do I want to believe? The story about I get to have a fun time in my body, whatever it may look like, or do I have to rewrite history, take that away from myself, and now think of that as a big old mistake, you know?
And to be honest, most of the time, because we have that expectation right when we're about to look at the photo, it's just this immediate disappointment where if maybe we took those photos and we said, great, let's continue our day, and we never looked at them, and then 2 days later you look at them, your expectation of what that scene looks like might be different. And I tell a lot of people, do not delete the photo. I mean, don't get me wrong. There are some where like my eyes are closed, my tongue's out, like it looks ridiculous and I'll delete that photo on the spot. But there's others that I'm like, okay. And I kind of just take it in and I'm like, they weren't my favorite. They obviously weren't what I pictured in my head. I'm just going to sleep on it and look at it a little bit later. And I think that's actually for wedding photos, for example, people usually tell me like, oh man, it was our first year anniversary. And I went back and looked at wedding photos and found all these pictures I don't even remember looking at. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, probably because you didn't like them originally. And now you're looking at them with a different view, a different lens. And you're kind of like, oh, I actually like this picture. So I always just tell people, don't delete photos. You're going to regret that anyway, because they are memories. They are things you were doing. And your body image might be so much better 3 years later that when you look back at that photo, you're only remembering that memory. And maybe you might remember that you didn't like that photo, but you might not remember the flaws that you saw in the photo in the first place. So,
I mean, how many times do we have women who look back at pictures of themselves and are like, I really, really liked how I looked then, even though I hated myself at that time?
Yes. And then we're like, okay, so you hate how you look like now. What do you think you in 20 years is going to feel about you now? Like, what if we just dropped that and appreciated who we are in the present moment?
And a picture, what is it? The whole saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words. They're not always negative ones.
Yeah. You have a choice. What words you believe about said picture.
Right. And I think that when I realized that I don't actually know what I look like and that photos and things are just never there, you know, I started trusting people around me. And I actually just talked about this yesterday with somebody that if people keep telling you around you, like, you look great, I love that swimsuit on you, and you're constantly telling them, no, I don't, it actually looks ugly, I'm actually fat, I'm actually this, you are straight up telling them, I don't trust you. I don't trust your opinion. I don't trust what you're telling me. And that can cause a relationship or a friendship issue at some point, because you know,
It's fully dismissive. Yeah.
And you're also training them to not give you compliments.
But at the same time, how interesting is it that we are such harsh judges of our own self that we actually don't allow other people to not only give us compliments, but to be way more objective about us. Like, there are definitely times with both of us on Instagram that I've posted pictures that Heidi didn't love of herself. She's posted pictures that I didn't love of myself. But at the same time, I know that she would never throw me under the bus like
that.
Oh,
totally.
Right. So she's obviously seeing something in that photo that I am not seeing, and vice versa. So sometimes the benefit of the doubt really comes into play. I will say though, however, your spouse is pretty darn honest. Like, if you put something on and you're like, does this look good? They'll be like, it's not my favorite. Then I feel like that is a little bit trustworthy. So there, you know, where there may be like someone on the circumference might be like, no, you look great. And you know that they're not being truthful. So you got to have a little bit of like
You have to find the friends.
There's some skepticism allowed. You're not saying that everybody is trustworthy.
No, but you have your hype up friends and you have your honest friends and you can know. And I think, but either way, right? Like, somebody's not going out of their way to compliment you to be rude. Like,
seriously.
Like, I mean, this isn't like Lindsay Lohan Mean Girls where they're like, you look great and you have like stuff all over your teeth. Like, that's not happening anymore.
But like, sometimes I feel like we think that, right? Like, you get your haircut and somebody's like, oh, cute haircut. If you believe it, you're like, yeah, I'm feeling it. Like, it does look great. If you feel like it looks bad, you're like, oh my gosh, you're only saying that because it looks so bad. And like, you feel bad for me. And you're like, did you notice this horrible haircut you have? Like, oh, I did see it. It just goes on and on, right?
It does. It goes on and on. And I actually, back to the spouse thing, I tell people a lot that what I do is a fashion show for Nate when I'm in a good body image headspace. And I do, I go through everything in my closet, bra, underwear, sports bras, everything included. Because the other part of body image is that if you are wearing clothes every single day that are like constricting on you, you're going to feel horrible. If you go to your closet every single day and you don't really know what's in there that can fit, so you just keep with the comfortable items because you're too scared to try something on to see if it fits, that's already starting your day with a bad body image because you're already thinking, I might not fit into that. My body might be wrong. And so I'll just walk in and be like, what about this shirt? And he's like, not my favorite on you. And I'm like, great. Wow. See you later. Like, and I just don't care. Cause I'm like, he's dissing the shirt, not me. Like yeah. He knows that my body type isn't made for every single piece of clothing out there. So yeah.
Okay. So sorry, I'll edit this out, but I'm a little terrified because it says that the red light, it's flashing at me through your microphone. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
No, but the microphone. I'm worried that the microphone.
But you tested it.
I know, right? But it says if it's a solid red light, that means your microphone is muted and it's a solid red light. Do you think it's working?
But I can hear you.
Right. But I wonder if that's the camera that you can hear, not the microphone. Do you have any ideas or should we just keep going?
I just keep going.
Keep going.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, it sounds like the microphone. Like when you get closer to it, I can hear it getting
wonderful. Louder. We're just going to assume that that is correct.
Yep. You want to like tap it a couple times? Yeah, I can hear that.
Wonderful. Okay. I'm just like,
paranoid. We are traumatized. It's happened to us 2 times already that we thought we were recording something and we
weren't. Oh gosh.
We love ourselves.
It's all right. Fine. We'll cut it out.
Good thing we have an internet business. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
So let's talk a little bit about cleaning up your feed and how helpful you feel like pictures are for before and afters. I think this is a really great topic. A lot of people, mm-hmm. when I asked the poll a couple of weeks ago, if they found them helpful or unhelpful, I think having your own set for yourself of your own personal pictures is incredibly helpful.
Yes.
Except when you go and you just focus exactly on your trouble spots, you're not going to see what you want to see. So an objective lens or sharing them with a friend or a coach is always mm-hmm. going to be better because they'll show you things that you can't see.
And if you can see progress, good for you.
Right. Way to be open-minded to your own self and looking for the good in your process. Now, what about influencers? I'd love to know your thoughts on them.
So I feel, I think I have a little bit of mixed feelings about this because I have real beef when people don't tell the whole story of what went into a progress photo. So if you, like when you graduated high school or college, not high school, when you graduated college, you were super twiggy, whatever, you were like size 0 to 2, never really had to think about what you were eating, all this stuff. You get pregnant, gain a little bit of weight, no big deal. You have a baby, you have a second one. That I understand the point of a before photo being the postpartum picture, right? But you have genetics that you're not talking about. Like you grew up your whole life not having to think about food. You grew up your whole life not having to think about your weight. You were never told to lose weight. So in my opinion, if you're going to do progress photos, they need to show the whole story. And if you're going to look at progress photos, you need to understand that you are probably not getting that full story. Because part of it is genetics. Part of it is where you were at in your life. Like everybody, of course, is going to be a little bit higher in weight right after they had a baby compared to maybe even 6 months later. But the other thing is that a lot of people they show the before and after and they don't show the during. And I think that there's this idea that like, oh, if I just do their program, if I just do this thing, I'm going to go from this to this. And there's not like, hey, here's 3 months in. Oh, and here's the 18 months I had to be in maintenance because I dieted for too long. And here's the 6 months after that I really didn't want to be in maintenance. And so I just ate like whatever I wanted and actually put on weight. And then, like, there's not the during. And I think that, again, you're just not getting the full picture. So I don't think that innately progress pictures are bad. I can see how they would be difficult for people to see, but I think the reality is that people who are looking at them are not looking at them through the lens of, I'm only getting a snippet here versus other people that are posting them are also only posting the worst they've ever looked and the best they've ever looked.
I think they do. I really feel like people go through 100%. Their feeds and like, where do I look the worst or mm-hmm. the heaviest? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to use that as my before.
Yes.
Can we also just say straight out, anybody who uses an actual pregnant picture of themselves as a before.
I can't even, I know.
That should be outlawed.
It should.
I feel like that is so rude.
Disingenuous. It really is.
I cannot tell you how many times I've seen that.
On pregnancy too. Like it's like, it's such a gift. Like it's such a gift. I cannot even imagine using that picture as like, this is when I was at my worst. It's just like, you don't even know how lucky you are to be pregnant in the first place.
Totally. We've seen that so many times. And I'm just like, that is not a before of you.
No.
You 7 months pregnant is not you being fat
or 6 days postpartum or whatever. When you start your first cut or whatever, just
Then I'm like, even if you want to do, you know, you're obviously we do bump date pictures when people are pregnant. Right. So like, if you want to do your bump date, almost like a full moon situation, like,
oh, totally
all the way in. And then like 9 months out and what that looks like every month for you, that's totally fine. Cause again, you're seeing a whole picture there. But also if you started your pregnancy very fit and with basically like those people who, which no shame again, right? Like pregnancy is different for every single person. But if you're somebody who, or like an influencer who has a six pack at 20 weeks pregnant still, and you can still kind of see four of those six going on, then you can't, you know, you can't just post the postpartum picture back to your six pack when you get it back. Because clearly your six pack is somewhat genetic for you. And so it's just this whole picture thing, which I would say for anybody listening, if you are scrolling and you see, you know, side-by-side photos and they don't serve you, maybe just like block that person, mute that person, get rid of them on your feed, because they probably are posting those a lot. If I post them, they always come with a caveat, like, hey, by the way, some progress pictures are coming up. If you want to get rid of them, you can. You don't have to follow this post or see it, but I also try really hard to post the whole thing. Like here was 2 years ago when I first started, here's after a year of lifting when I was in maintenance only and never did any kind of deficit. And here's 6 weeks later where you can't really see that big of a difference, but I was in a deficit and here's now. And here, you know, like you have to be able to see the whole picture and understand that. And don't get me wrong, you don't have to pull out pictures from when you're in seventh grade. Like none of us are supposed to look like we did when we were in seventh grade. But
thank heavens.
for the sake of our eyebrows, thank God. Yeah.
Mine was up to high school.
Or
we're not
going
to go there.
Yeah,
that's fine. But yeah, I agree. Context is everything, because without context, people just make assumptions, or they fill in the blank, or they fill in the story. And especially I feel like with postpartum, women are so emotionally fragile about their bodies at that place.
Yes.
I think more women go into it feeling nervous about their postpartum look than actually empowered by it. Mm-hmm. Occasionally I will see influencers, and I love it when they're like, this body just had a baby. And like, they'll show something straight out. Like, this is reality, what it looks like. I literally am in the hospital postpartum. I look like I'm still 9 months pregnant. When people make things real like that, that is the kind of pictures that I really enjoy, because they're normalizing and showing what postpartum looks like. Yes. Like Meg Swatz right now is such a fantastic follow. Like she's just had a baby. She shows herself in all her glory. She's like, I'm not in a rush. I got cleared for exercise. I don't feel like doing it right now. I want to just be a mom and love. Like I love women who talk about the realities of the postpartum experience versus, like you said, hey, look at me with my six pack at 8 months and my six pack 3 days after I come home from the hospital. Like that six pack was there the whole time.
Yes.
With your baby.
Right.
And to be honest, I think that has a place too, because there's probably, you know, I think for me personally, I can't wait to get pregnant. I can't wait to have that blessing and be able to say like, oh, my big belly that I just get to love on, regardless of how hard that might be, that your body is changing. And I do know that there are some people out there who are the six pack people that wish they could get like a true bump, or wish that they could get that big belly, and they're not getting that. I think, you know, body image in general is obviously way more focused on people who are not considered like society's version of being small. But I do think there's a lot of body image in people who are smaller too. Like they wish they had the curves. They wish they had the boobs. They wish they had the butt. They wish they had the baby bump. They'll probably, at some point they're probably like, I wish I couldn't see my abs anymore because I barely have a bump here. And sometimes that stinks because I literally just looked like I ate a Chipotle burrito and nothing else. So I think that body image goes on both sides. I think the reason that we spend so much more time on this side of it is because society does push a lot of the other imagery toward us. So I would say though, I love my, you know, back to your question about Instagram feeds and is it turning into the new Pinterest? I think it can. I think I've curated my feed enough to be like, I don't want that. See you later. But there's so many great accounts out there these days that are like, here's what it looks like when I'm posing, and here's what it looks like when I sat down to edit the photo, right? Like, and showing what editing photos look like, showing that we can't really trust everything on, you know, Instagram, even showing the celebrity like Getty image photos of what they looked like initially and then what was posted in a magazine. I mean, seeing that difference and celebrities speaking out against it, I definitely think that we are kind of starting to see this trend of like, it's not cool to be fake anymore. But I do think that it can be, you know, seeing if you can see side by side photos of like posed versus unposed, it will really make you feel like a, like more of a human. I mean, like there's not, I don't know one woman who doesn't get ingrown hairs on their bikini line. Like if I keep there, she's out there, like, what do you use? Tell me what you use. Like
you're just a,
is it Natalie?
She doesn't even have to shave her legs. It's fine.
It's genetic.
Like you, like we're talking about, right? The genetics ups and downs, right?
Right. But I also don't get eyelashes standards. So there's that. Like, yeah, I'm a hairless wonder, but also no eyelashes.
Right.
Which the flip side of that is I get compliments on my hair all the time because it's very long and very thick. It's actually naturally curly. And let me tell you, I remind people all the time. I'm like, that means that the hair on my arms is thick. That means the hair on my legs is thick. That means that I have to wax my eyebrows all the time because otherwise I look like.
Right. But you have eyebrows. So right. That's a gift. So it's,
right. Everything has everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. Kind of like to the point of like every extreme, right? Whether, yeah, you have a six pack before you have a baby and you wish you had a bump. It's like we all want these things that.
It's pretty much whatever we don't have, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Seriously.
And let's take body image out of it, right? Like if you are in a house that you don't really like that much, you hate the kitchen and you can't fix it. If you only follow people who have your dream home and your dream kitchen, like your Instagram feed is going to become a really negative place for you really fast. And it's no shame to those people. It's no like hatred to them. Like you're happy for them that they have that kitchen, but eventually you're going to sit there and be like, gosh, like, what am I doing wrong? Like, what's wrong with my life that I don't have that? And, you know, it wasn't that long ago that social media didn't exist and we lived not knowing what people's kitchens looked like unless they invited us over. So.
Well, totally. That's a great point.
That's a great point. Those are the days of us.
Yeah. And not to like do the analogy to death or anything, but it's like, why are you in the house that you are? Probably for other reasons, other priorities, right? It's like going back to the Meg squats. Like, I don't feel like working out right now. I don't want to, like, she's prioritizing for her being home with her baby, getting into that new role and mindset or whatever. And no disrespect to people who make different choices, but also no disrespect to her, even though that seems to be the thing we all should do is like get back into our genes as quickly as possible after having a baby. It's like, I love that social media does have negative, definitely has a profound downside, but also like to your point. Yeah. It also shows other
and it comes
options,
down to how you curate your feed to totally. In order to love your body and to respect your body and your goals.
And like find what resonates with you, what you align with, not just what you think you should be or like what you're afraid, like the things, what you think is going to help you avoid what you're afraid of.
Yeah. I mean, I think that being able, it's freeing, and I'm sorry, I'm moving on to something else here, but it's freeing to be able to just go live and not think about, I think that's the thing with body image. People think that there's this finish line where you're going to wake up and every single morning, you're going to love everything in your body, whether that means that you've accomplished body image or that you've gotten to a goal weight or a goal size. And the thing is that finish line doesn't exist on either ends of those spectrum. So you have to realize that you are a lot of body image just means that it's not in the forefront of your mind anymore, that you can go to the lake. You don't turn down invitations to go to a place with water because you don't want to be in a bikini. You start going and you stop caring so much. I mean, I was at a swimming hole this weekend and I, you know, usually would typically cover up to eat a sandwich because anytime you sit in a crisscross applesauce situation and bend over and eat a sandwich, you're going to have rolls regardless of your body fat percentage. Yep. So I used to, you know, like kind of cover up like, oh, it's time to eat. Let me cover up. And then you're associating food with like, is everyone looking at my rolls while I'm eating? And, things like
and
that.
You know, they're only staring at your sandwich roll, not your stomach.
Or they're worried about their own rolls.
And, you know, and I just kind of like sat in it for a second and I was like, gosh, this is so freeing that I can sit here and eat this sandwich and not care at all, like be aware of what my body's doing, but not really care that much about it because it's just, I'm just here living with my friend and I need to eat something.
Well, like, totally. And even if you are being judged, that's really what we want, how we want to live our life is to avoid those kinds of judgments from people. Like, that's not who I want to live my life to please. No. It's like the imagined judgments of other people.
You never know them. Like, I don't, that's the thing. I think that it was something, someone said this to me when I was in college, when like me and a boyfriend broke up and I was like, I just want him to like feel that, like, think that I'm like going out and doing the best things. I want him to think I'm so happy. I want him to look at my social media and be like, oh, she's totally fine. And my friend told me this like profound thing. She was like, you realize you're never going to know if he feels that way though. Right. Like, you're never going to have any clue. So if you go to the beach and you're scared of people's judgments, you're never going to know if they're judging you. You're never going to know if they're looking at your body. You're never going to know if they're complimenting you in your head. You're never going to know if they're sitting there saying, man, I really wish I could walk around in a bikini and not care that I'm like jumping up and down. And they might be jealous of the fact that you're just like living. And
totally. But if you're focusing, if you're believing that they are, you are experiencing it as if they are. So it's like, who wants to live that way? Like, you're living in a nightmare that you are literally making yourself.
Yeah. And it's not an overnight thing. This takes forever. I mean, it took me years, and I would say that my body image is probably the best that it's at. And it has been for about a year. And ironically, I was like the heaviest in the past year than I've ever been. And I was just like,
I don't think that's an accident.
I don't think so either. And I think a lot of it was focusing on what my body does for me, focusing on the fact that I get to go live. I mean, if you've ever been injured, it stinks when you have to be told you can't do something. So being able to just like up and go do something is such a blessing that we take for granted. And I mean, I think really understanding that people are so focused on themselves, they're probably not even thinking about you. So you're putting, like you said, you're putting that pressure on yourself for no reason, when nobody else is. So,
well, totally. And I mean, if everything, if our life is just a projection of our own mind, like you criticizing yourself through the eyes of someone else is you just found a new, that's just a way to be mean to yourself. Right.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Just, you're just judging yourself through somebody else's eyes instead of just being direct with yourself. Right. Like you're not saying, oh, I think I look ugly. You're like, I bet they think I look ugly. It's like, that's still you criticizing you.
Yeah. And it brings us back to motivational versus mean.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, because I think the three of us definitely feel comfortable in the size and sphere of our bodies at this point, but how do people get there? I think it's an incredibly challenging undertaking for people because they always assume that in order for me to like my body, I have to change it first because as is, isn't good enough. And we have that from women who are size zero to size 28. It actually, it's so interesting how it has nothing to do with actually how much they weigh or the size that they are, because it really all comes down to like what's in your head.
Totally. So for me, I feel like I remember reading some quote once that was like, you know, profound change can only happen when you get tired of your own bullcrap. And I think for me, that was, yeah, criticizing myself through other people's eyes, all the shoulds, the never enoughs, focusing on the flaws, right?
And do you feel like maybe you criticize yourself through others' eyes because you're scared to know what you actually think about yourself? Or scared to actually maybe not hate all the things about yourself?
Well, it's almost like, that's an interesting point. It's almost like this thing of never sort of developing your own opinions because you always prioritize other people's. Yeah, like this idea of like, I mean, that was one of the things that was so profound about starting macros for me was like not following a meal plan or what you should do. It's like, what do I want for lunch? I'm not sure. You know, it's like, what do I think about me? Like, let me decide those things, and deciding those things. And then like caring about how you feel, noticing how you feel, asking yourself why you feel that way, exploring those beliefs and realizing some of the underlying scaffolding that is supporting these negative beliefs, whether it be memories or whatever, so that you have the self-awareness to notice when you feel bad, ask yourself why, and redirect when you can to a better feeling thought. For a long time, I tried to skip over that feeling step and immediately go to like, well, how do I feel better about this? It's like, you gotta kind of be with you gotta be with your feelings and support yourself in your feelings. And then when you're ready to feel something different, when you're ready to really like move on, you can.
Yeah. I think, I don't want to discount that a lot of body image can come from how people were raised. So if you
conditioning, our favorite is childhood traumas, right? And how interesting that a fawn response is people pleasing response. And therefore you are assuming what other people think about you because that is how you've always created your relationships over like, what do they need? What can I do for them? How can I make them feel better?
Which is a disassociation from yourself and likely a disassociation from your body as well. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. And it's so true. And if you have parents who were constantly complimenting or commenting on your plate or commenting on your body size or commenting on, are you going to still eat that? Or why aren't you eating more? Or
even theirs, like their obsession with their own stuff, right?
It's their obsession with their own stuff. They might have a fear of if they were fearful of gaining weight, they might be fearful that you're going to gain weight. If they, you know, it could come from so many different places, and we don't know our parents. We, at the end of the day, we don't always know everything about our parents. And so we have to kind of forgive that, move on. But I will say that if somebody who's listening is dealing with body image that was for sure deep rooted in something that happened when they were a kid or when they were growing up, to definitely go to therapy about it, because it's going to be the first step in getting through all of that and understanding. Another funny thing that worked for myself was I followed, a bunch of child nutrition accounts because I wanted to make sure that with us raising kids that we were raising them in a really neutral situation with food so that they can maybe avoid some of the stuff that generationally I feel like we all grew up with. And when I started following these kids accounts, they started saying like, you know, things that I basically heard as a kid. And I was and talking about like, you know, we want to avoid saying this because this is what can happen. And it was so validating for me that I was like, oh, that's why. And maybe it wasn't my parents' fault. Maybe it was just the parenting at the time. And that I need to realize that but that's what maybe impacted me. And that's why I feel that way. So by trying to be a better future parent in this like nutrition world, I actually solved a lot of my frustration with everything and how I was raised. So that was kind of a funny thing that helped myself. And I think that, you know, understanding, especially as parents and future parents, and, you know, if you're around kids, I was a nanny for a really long time. And it always stuck with me that somebody said like, your voice becomes that kid's inner voice.
Yep.
And you, your own voice is also your inner voice. And I think that we're trying to undo maybe some of our parents' voices there and being able to switch that in your head. And when you hear this inner voice tell you you're really fat and you shouldn't eat that, you can say, I don't think that was actually my voice. Like, I don't think that's actually me. That's not actually how I feel today. I think I'm just conditioned to feel that way. And so maybe I need to rewrite that.
Right. Or acknowledging like, that's the voice of my aunt.
Totally.
That's the voice of my aunt telling me that, which therefore shows me that that is my aunt and my grandma's body image issue and their body love issue and not mine. And I don't have to inherit that. I like what you were saying about parenting, because it is true. If we can't get to a place where we can model loving our bodies at any size, when we are critical about our own, our children will see that. Mm-hmm. Our peers will see that. And so if you are actually constantly picking yourself apart, everyone around you is going to be like, gosh, is she picking me apart too? Like if I'm sitting there judging my plate, Heidi's going to be like, ooh, was I not supposed to get three tacos? Because she's saying that, oh, I'm so stuffed after this one taco. I can't possibly eat anymore. Or I don't want to get fat if I eat more than one taco. And you have got three tacos on your plate. You're going to be like, yeah. So does she think that I'm a pig or whatever for eating these three?
100%. I love everything that you said. I think that's so, it's such an interesting avenue into self-awareness to follow those children accounts. Because yeah, you're right. Like it, when you're growing up, that's just the water you're swimming in. Like you don't even, you don't know any different. And I'd also like to just put this out there too, that it has absolutely nothing to do with whether or not your parents loved you. Like that, to your point about them being afraid that you gain weight, that is inadvertently them trying to protect you in a very like set maladaptive way, right? But they don't want you to experience maybe what they experienced or what they witnessed their siblings or whatever experience. They're trying to protect you, but in a very, like I said, a very maladaptive way. So just understanding they can't give you what they didn't have.
Yeah. And I think what, you know, Natalie said about, if I say this, what are they going to think? Especially with kids, imagine I'm guarantee some of your kids look identical to you and people tell them that all the time. You look just like your mom.
Yep.
And then they come home and you're like, oh, I look so fat today. And they're like, well, I look just like my mom. So if my mom thinks she's fat, I'm probably fat. And so I think that's a big part of it too. But even with the comments on food, and I think this is, again, just like a tool people can use, is just to kind of try it out. Like it's going to be uncomfortable, right? It's going to feel weird. It's out of the norm. But my friend and I this weekend, we ate our way through Texas. It was wonderful. And we had so much food. And anytime either one of us were like, I think I'm gonna have a cookie for breakfast, which is very outside of the norm, right? The other person was like, get it, girl. Like, we're on vacation. Enjoy that cookie. And just, I mean, she and I did that kind of naturally. But I think if you start doing that with other people and they're like, oh, I think I want to get the fries, be like, get after it. Enjoy the fries. Hope you love them. Like, I'm going to steal one. Saying that over and over, I think in your friendships and your friendship dynamic, it kind of pushes this boundary of like, we have to be that person that's like, oh, well, you know, if you wanted to be healthy, you could have a salad. Or, you know, if you're for yourself or like, hey, I think I'm going to get the fries and your friend's like, okay, sweet, get them. All of a sudden that decision's back on you and you're no longer choosing based off of what they think about it. You're thinking,
oh, totally.
Do I actually want the fries? Because she doesn't care. So, and you, like you said, Heidi, it's just, you know, thinking about yourself and what you actually want and you know, how that goes. So.
Absolutely. I love that. I mean, that's totally what I think all of us, all three of us are about, is like giving women permission to feel good about themselves. Like, hopefully the next generation won't need it, but I'm pretty sure this one does, you know, so we can do that.
And having your back in circumstances actually is all about loving your body. Like, if you decide that I'm going to have fries today, mm-hmm. and you feel good about that choice, that is having your own back. It's not saying for the fries, because that is actually like denying what you want. Like, right. if you want them. But that also comes down to like figuring out what your food narratives are, and mm-hmm. like breaking it down and seeing like where your body image issues come from, or they stem from, or what they're based on. I think not enough people are curious about that. I think they assume like, oh, well, I suck automatically, or like, this equals this, instead of being like, why do, like what you mentioned about childhood traumas, like go find out, like, where do all your body dialogues come from, and then get curious about them. Like, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that I'm not worthwhile if I'm X amount of weight, but I am worthwhile, more worthwhile 15 pounds lighter? What does that really mean to me? And you know what I mean? Get curious mm-hmm. about where you stand with the size of your body and your body beliefs.
Well, totally. And to your point, how mean it is to yourself to be like, yeah, I'm going to have these fries and enjoy them, then see a picture of myself and be like, oh,
shouldn't have the fries.
Yeah, shouldn't have the fries. You did it again.
Exactly. And food guilt plays a big, big role in body image.
Huge. And
I like to always say, is it guilt or is it regret? Because let me tell you, if I'm eating 5 cookies for breakfast, I'm going to really regret that, because my stomach is going to be in so much pain. But I'm not going to feel guilty about it. Like, I didn't do anything wrong by having 5 cookies for breakfast. There was nothing wrong with that. And I didn't gain any fat. I didn't change the way my body looks. I changed the way my body felt. And I think that when you become more in tune with your body, you become more on your, like, you and your body are the same team, and you kind of appreciate what your body's doing for you, and it's appreciating what you're doing for it. Then when you eat 5 cookies and you have a stomach ache, it's your body's way of being like, dude, you knew I wasn't going to do well with that. And you're like, ah, I'm so sorry. Like,
or your body's like, why didn't we have a 6?
Yeah.
Cause that was super good.
Yes.
Right. Well, totally. And that symbiotic relationship is so crucial, as all of us will for sure have experiences in our body that we're not totally in control of, right? Like how our body responds to pregnancy, aging, you know, getting injured, getting sick. And can you, like, it's wonderful to appreciate what your body looks like. It's wonderful to appreciate what your body can do. And it's wonderful to appreciate your body when it can't do any of the things or look the way that you want it to as well.
And like, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What if every time your body was communicating with you, like it has a migraine, it has something else, you were just like, oh, I'm so sorry, what can I do for you? Instead of like this automatic, like, I'm the worst. I don't take care of my body. I'm so fat. I don't do anything. I'm lazy. I do this. I do that. I mean, and let's take cookies out of it. If I eat spinach, my body hates it. Like, my stomach explodes. It cannot handle it. So even if I were to eat a spinach salad, like, screw the cookies, because people will get
that judgment. Yeah.
Bad about that. So let's take a salad. My body is like, what were you thinking? I'm sorry. You're right. Like, I didn't think that. And I think when you start realizing you and your body are one and the same, you can stop being like your body's just trying to tell you like, hey, I don't feel good right now. And instead of that turning into like, I'm the worst, my body sucks, like, you know, whatever. And then pair that with wearing pants that don't fit you, and then looking at an Instagram feed full of girls that don't look like you. I mean,
well, similar. Yeah. Similarly, stepping on the scale and being like, oh, I shouldn't feel this way. And then feeling, you know, feeling all gross about that. And then going directly to the closet to get ready for work. Can't find anything, you know, and then it just reinforces this message that you're not good enough how you are, as opposed to like one of, you know, as we all know, one of the reasons that the scale can go up is because you're building muscle. You're working on yourself, on an aesthetic goal, right? Like, but for whatever reason, we see that scale tick up and we're like, oh, that's fat. I did it wrong. I'm a mess. And everything's going downhill.
I think along those lines, it's like you have like mind and body harmony really do take time, especially if you've been treating them separate for so long. Like, you have your isolated thoughts, then you have your body, and so many women are at war with their bodies, and you're realizing like, you want to scream to them, hey, that is you. Your body is you. So having this disconnect isn't helping you at all. Mm-hmm. Having like a symbiotic relationship, that actually makes more sense. But at the same time, it's like, just because mentally you want to be 50 pounds lighter does not mean your body is automatically going to match that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to meet it where it's at. And I think nobody mm-hmm. thinks that. And the same token, if you lost 50 pounds, you can still think of yourself in that heavier mindset,
yes.
because it hasn't caught up with that as well. I remember when I first started counting macros and I had lost all that weight, I wasn't all of a sudden wearing tight fitting clothes and like showing off my body. It was very much like, I don't really know who this girl is.
Oh my gosh. It took me like 2 years to convince you to wear one size smaller.
Yeah. And even then I was still not really sure about like, who is this girl? Like, I don't really know her. Like the one I'm familiar with and the one I'm comfortable with and the one that I know her demons. I know how to dress her. I know her dark, dirty, twisty secrets and sides. Like, finding and getting to know somebody else is tricky, a different variation of you. And it's true, to Heidi's point, like, I still wear oversized clothes. I still don't feel, you'll never find me in a fitted top. It's just, I don't feel good there, even though it's been 5 years.
People but so many of your beliefs have changed though. I mean, who knows what will happen in another 5 years, and mine as well, right? But like, both of us going from like, oh, we're just whatever, to like, actually we're athletes.
Right. And loving like your body identity processes, realizing that mind and body harmony do take time, and that just because you have this desire to be this person already, your body's like, wait, hold on, we're not there yet.
Yeah.
And vice versa. And nobody gives themselves that kind of grace.
Well, right. And like a lot of people that want to have a transformation, they want to feel or define themselves differently. And you have to take your brain with you as you're redefining that, like sort of. You said earlier, like, the clothes make the man. It's like the you believing yourself into the person you want to be, right? Like us going to CrossFit every day for years and practicing, like, oh, look what we can accomplish. Look what we do. That's how you that's how you change the belief from like, I'm a whatever to I'm an athlete. And the same thing with body confidence. It's like, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be that practice of like supporting yourself in negative emotion. Like, oh, I'm feeling these things. You can't feel wrong. Like, what are you, like you would to like daughter, sister, friend, like, what's going on? How are you feeling? Like, why are you feeling that way?
I'm the same way as Natalie, like trying to even think about wearing like a tight shirt or a tight crop top, like really, really is out of my comfort zone. And I bought one of those like Amazon kind of crop long sports bra things, which again, no torso. So it wasn't that much of a crop. and I bought one and I was like, you know what? Just wear it around the house for like an hour. See what happens. I wore it around the house. I didn't feel that bad in it. And as soon as I started feeling bad about it, I said, okay, time to take it off. Like, it wasn't, there's something wrong with your body. It wasn't, and you're allowed to acknowledge negative feelings. And I think that you have to, I mean, you have to acknowledge like, yeah, you know, this isn't making me feel my best today. So I'm going to change my outfit, but that doesn't have to turn. And that's the motivating into the next, you know, segment where I think the mean part of it comes in. And then we're like, well, if you went to the gym this morning, you probably would be able to wear it, you know, and we kind of start negative self-talking about what's wrong with us instead of just saying, that doesn't work for me today. That's just not, my body's not feeling that today. I mean, and we can go into this even longer with it when it comes to cycles and how your body changes when you're ovulated, when you're on your period, and how there's just some outfits that are just not going to work on certain days, and it's okay. You don't have to be perfect all the time, and you're allowed to experience those negative feelings and say, this isn't for me today. So I'm just going to change, but I'm not going to blame myself for it. I'm just going to acknowledge it.
Totally. And I'm not, whether you're worried about having lost your physical process or even your mental work, it's like, oh, I thought I was made so much progress in my confidence, but I guess I guess I've lost it. I guess I don't feel that way anymore. It's like, you know,
well, this is just proof why like quick fixes don't work, because you're not ready for it. I mean, how many times like we've said that when you have like, let's just say, for instance, like your most favorite Instagrammer, like you, if we literally gave that to you right now, okay, let's just say Lauren Simpson, for crying out loud, okay, if we made you Heidi Lauren Simpson right now, would you know how to like?
No, I can't do a 350-pound back squat. Right. Like I can't maintain it.
You can't do what she does. You don't have the like the confidence that she does. Like, and not a diss on you, but like, no, she has become this person by her process.
Incrementally.
Exactly. Incrementally. Which is why it's so funny how people are like, oh, if I lose 100 pounds, I'll feel better about myself. It's like, actually, you wouldn't. Because you wouldn't even know how to maintain it, what to do, how to keep it off, which is why so many people do quick fixes and nothing changes, because you didn't take your mind with you.
And just like building a muscle, you're building neural pathways that create new beliefs in your brain. Like there actually is some real physiological reasons why you can't go faster than you're going.
And why does Lauren Simpson know how to be Lauren Simpson? Because she allowed herself to be Lauren Simpson. Mm. And the same thing goes for each one of us. Like if you would just allow, like if I allowed Natalie to take her time, I actually did something similar to you. I went to Amazon. We have crop top Fridays at our gym and I never participate because Pooh Bear, right? But I bought like two cropped tops from Amazon. I put them on my bathroom and I'm like, it's not happening. Just not going to do it. And it has nothing to do with me hating myself or thinking I'm not worthy or worthwhile or whatever. I'm like, I just don't feel like me in this. Well, and that is okay, right? But 100%. I have a crop sweatshirt and I wear it over a longer shirt. And that is my version of trying, like kind of like what you're saying. You put it on for 10 minutes. I can wear this there. Maybe one day I'll be brave enough to wear it without a shirt underneath. But at the same time, if I never, ever get there, that's also okay too. Well, like, I don't, there's not this pinnacle where like, you have ultimate body confidence when you can be in like a string bikini, right? And this is when you know that like you are okay with yourself. There's no marker like that.
There's no metric.
I might literally never wear a bikini my entire life, and that is okay because that's not a metric that I need to prove to myself to love my body.
I love it. Totally. Yeah. And it's also like, it's kind of like the way you're talking about that reminds me of the Brené Brown thing. Like, not everyone deserves to hear your story, right? Just because that's something fun for someone else or a marker for someone else doesn't mean you have to do that in order to prove anything to anyone, right? Like, that's, we all get to progress at the rate that we're comfortable with. But the point that is great about what you just said is that you're still trying, like you're aware of it. You're still challenging yourself, right? Like, and noticing your boundaries and your limits, which I think is the ultimate self-care.
And it starts just with like, I want to, right? Like that whole trajectory we had like this last year, like wear the swimsuit, wear the shorts. And there are women who they don't even want to go to the pool, much less wear clothes to the pool, much less wear a swimsuit, right? It's like, yes, I think that there is power in that. Like, hey, and to your point, Michaela, it's like, don't worry about what you look doing something, like go to have memories, go to have these fun times. But at the same time, thinking, I would like to wear shorts one day is a start versus just being like, I'm never wearing shorts ever.
That's not for me. That's right. Not who
it's
I
like,
am.
I would like to wear shorts one day. I would like to get to a place where I'm content or brave enough to wear shorts there. And that is a great stepping stone.
Totally. So let me take that towel and maybe I'll cover up today, or maybe I'll bring it a little bit lower to the next time or whatever. Like, take it at your own pace, but acknowledging what it is you want and moving yourself closer to there in whatever increments feel right for you.
Yeah. Cause then you're not writing your body off again, you know? Yeah. And the other thing to, you know, I want to say back that sometimes going and enjoying yourself means that you're not thinking about your clothes. So, you know, Natalie, for you to go to Crop Top Fridays and wear a crop top, which you probably could have worn, you probably would have rocked it. Everybody probably would have complimented you and it would have been fine. Right. But you would not have thought about anything in that workout except for that freaking crop top. And that is not living your best life. I mean, it's not like to be sitting there thinking about your clothes, thinking about your food, thinking about your roles, thinking about the stuff that's going on. That's not doing the best thing for you. So while it was great for me to be able to go to the lake and take off or be able to eat while I didn't have cover up on, it took so many years of going and even being okay with eating in a swimsuit.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And having your back every step of the way.
Or how about just eating in front of people, period. Well, totally. That might be the first step.
Right? Because to your point, if people had come up and given you compliments, would you have your own back in receiving them? Or would you do the haircut thing that I did about like, oh, you're just saying that because you want me to feel good.
If I were cropped up tomorrow and people said something to me, I would probably run away in tears.
Yeah.
Because it would have been too much attention drawn to something that I don't want attention drawn. Even if it was all in honest to goodness compliment and good faith, it would have felt so exposed and vulnerable that I would not want that at all. It's like, right? It's right. Like I know that about myself. Like, it would not feel good to me.
Right.
Like, ironically, last Friday, we had a workout with double unders and I had a really long shirt on and it kept getting caught like on my butt when I was trying to do double unders. And every time I would jump, I could feel the shirt like kind of pull on my shorts and it would kick me out of my rhythm. Mm. And so I was like, dang it, what am I going to do? I'm not taking my shirt off. So I like ever so slightly, like, tucked it under my bra and our coach looked at me cause I had like, you know, a quarter size sliver of my stomach showing. And he kind of like gave me a look and I'm like, whatever, like I need to finish this workout. But that was as brave as I could get that day.
Mm.
And it was enough. Yes. It was fine. Right when the workout was done, I pulled my shirt back out and it was back to what it was, but it's like baby steps into feeling comfortable. Well, totally. And there's no acceleration that you need to put on yourself in order to love your body. But I think honoring and accepting that I do want to love my body. I do. I want to feel good in my skin right now. It doesn't matter what size I am. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. Like, I really, really desperately want to love myself is the first step. And so how do we get women there? How do we get women to a place where they're not conditionally loving themselves or putting terms and exclusions and restrictions on themselves like caveats, like, oh, I will love myself when I lose 50 mm-hmm. pounds or when I can wear a crop top. What do you guys think?
I think honestly that if every single client came to me and they changed their goal from I want to lose weight or I want to look a certain way or I want to whatever to I want to wake up every single day and go to bed every single day feeling my best that day and feeling like me and my body were on the same page, body image wouldn't even be a thing. I mean,
oh, totally.
It's really hard to have bad body image when you and your body are on the same page and when you feel really good. I mean, even yep. if like we get a headache and we're just like having to sit on the couch for 3 days in a row, it's like we automatically go from instead of saying, man, I don't feel good because I have a headache. It's like, I don't feel good because I've been so lazy because I haven't moved. Oh, I haven't gotten steps in because I haven't whatever. And part of that is just being mean. But the other part of that is true. I mean, when you are taking care of yourself and you feel really good all around. Like it's really hard to feel, you know, whatever. Similarly, understanding that things are not linear, right? We're talking about this like progress and like baby steps and it getting bigger and bigger. But just because I was able to eat at that lake without a cover up on doesn't mean that the next time I'm at a lake and want to eat something that I won't prefer to have a cover up on. And it's my choice. It's my choice to decide totally.
Where I'm right. at. And stop assuming that yeah. and stop assuming that you're regressing every time yeah. you have like that kind of moment. I love that you actually said that yes. because so many women think I will find this pinnacle where I never feel bad about myself ever again. And I yeah. will always like everything that I do and I'll always have my own back and I'll never ever feel bad. It's like BS.
Totally. I call that making your PR a working set.
It's like, yeah. It's a lot of just like, you know, and I think it's in everything, right? Like it's in weight loss, it's in lifting, it's in, you know, you have permission to decide what feels good for you that day. What feels yes. best for you a day before might not the next day. And I tell my clients all the time, like, don't make yourself a square peg in a round hole. Like, don't put yourself into, I'm going to hit my macros every single day, the whole first month I'm with you. And then don't do it actually the way that makes sense for you, because then month two, you're going to fail and you're going to feel like, I was so on top of it. How did I fail? It's like, well, cause you weren't doing it for you. You were doing what you thought was expected of you. You were doing where you felt like you should be, where you feel like you are supposed yep. to be at, instead of saying, you know what, this is all kind of new for me. I might just start with complimenting myself in the mirror, even if that means that the only things I'm going to compliment are the way that my toes are lined up and my nail beds. Like, if that's totally. Where I need to start, that's where I started. And yep. I joke all the time that I still love my nail beds so much. And I used to compliment my collarbone all the time. And I still notice my collarbone before anything on my body, because I used to compliment it when nothing, I physically couldn't compliment anything else. And so when I was able to just pick out the one thing and it was something as little as a collarbone or nail beds, those still are the things on my body that like are the first thing that grab my attention in the mirror. And so even though I feel so much better, you know, I still have those moments. And sometimes it's just about like waking up and being like, well, these pants fit great last week and they don't this week. So clearly my body just is maybe experiencing a little bit of bloat. Clearly it's just not feeling it. I'm just going to put on something else today. And understanding that there's so many factors and that it might not be you and you may not have regressed. And I think, you know, when we talk about non-scale victories, I get kind of upset, and I'm working on a post on this because I feel like using clothing sizes as a non-scale victory can get really dangerous, because our bodies fluctuate so much that just because pants started feeling looser, that's awesome. I'm super excited for you, but it's okay if they start feeling less loose next week because you got your period or because you had a high sodium dinner or because you didn't drink a lot of water yesterday or you didn't sleep well. So non-scale victories are important, but I think specifically with how clothing fits or going down a size or up a size or whatever, it's just, you also have to just realize that, again, there's not these metrics for it. Like the metric might be that I went to bed tonight and I felt really good and I feel really good in my life, you know? And so
I love that. Like caring about how you feel, right? Just paying attention to yourself. I think like your migraine example, there's so many things you said that were just amazing, but the migraine example, I mean, how many of us just try to push through that? Like push ourselves into like the round peg in a square hole thing by ignoring how we feel and like assuming that accomplishing things outside of ourselves, whether it's a to-do list or a scale number or a pant size, that we need something outside of ourselves to feel good, which is never going to, like, an outside solution is never going to solve an internal problem, especially not for as long as the dopamine lasts. Right.
And one thing I want to say about what you're talking about, like sizing and dressing and clothing and things like that, is that actually ironically has been like the one thing I feel like no matter what size I am, I've always decided to treat myself to clothes that I find that I love, that I feel beautiful in, that I enjoy wearing, regardless of what size I am. Because I think you have so many women who are like, oh, I just want to get back into these jeans or like that shirt or that whatever. It's like, that is an article of clothing.
Yes.
Like you, it doesn't wear you, you wear it.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I don't want to buy a bigger size because that means I'm surrendering to this or whatever. It's like, does that really what that means? Or does that mean that you're actually acknowledging like, hey, right now I need something beautiful to wear so that I feel great in it. And that's the power of clothes, right?
Totally.
Like we all know that putting on some really good sweats puts you in a certain kind of mood, right? And at the same time, putting on something super smoking hot and sexy makes you feel really empowered. So
totally, whether you're giving someone permission to eat the fries or whether you're giving yourself permission to approve of yourself because you've hit whatever it is, 126.8 or whatever, it's like what you can also decide to have that feeling of acceptance about yourself now, right? By focusing on your stock parts, your nail beds, whatever it is that's like special or unique about you. Like, who are you? Like, what's great about your body? What's great about you outside of your body, right? And finding that we all, like, there's something in this human nature of ours that wants a finite answer. Like, tell me how to exactly maintain my results. Tell me how to exactly get to this scale weight. When what we're really wanting, it's like, tell me how I can feel good about myself, right? And those to me sound like permission to feel good about myself. But what if we rewrote that whole story, right? And we decide that all of us are worthy in our bodies, the current bodies that we actually have, which doesn't mean, I mean, satisfied with what you have, eager for more. I mean, can you think of a more ideal place to be mentally?
Well, and I think, you know, asking, if I were to take any woman and sit down and say, okay, you have option, like bucket A or bucket B. In bucket A, you are going to hit all the PRs in the world. You are going to have a six pack year round. You are going to have the perfect routine every single day. You're going to get 8 hours of sleep every single night. This is your life and you are going to have your dream body. In bucket B, I forgot which one I said first, but bucket B, you are going to always be able to have energy to play with your kids. Your kids are always going to be happy about eating with you. You're never going to stress over eating an ice cream cone. You are always going to, you know, be able to go on a campsite with your kids or camp in the backyard and not worry about your sleep because it's a memory made, you know, those being able to focus at work. I mean, all of those things play into trying new things and living. And that's kind of where this live your best thing I kind of came up with my LYB situation that I was trying to kind of change, because I'm like, this is the life that people actually want. And they think they're going after the first option because they think that that's what you need to do in order to get the other option. They think that person's so healthy, they always run around with their kids. So they think I have to get healthy. And by being healthy, I need to have a six pack. And they're just so different. And, you know, almost everybody I know would choose the bucket that has you living your life and living your best life and feeling good while you're doing it. Obviously while still having some, you know, things that come up, and it's okay if those things come up because life is ever changing. I mean, I'm not pregnant yet. I went through my heaviest weight. I'm losing weight now. I'm probably going to get pregnant, gain that weight, deal with breastfeeding, all of the things that come after it. Like dealing with teenagers is probably not going to let anybody sleep 8 hours a night. So like, I think that there's just all of these different parts of life. And to be honest, by the time I'm 70, like, I hope I really don't care what I look like. And that I'm just like, you know, living it up in retirement with my husband. So, body image is always going to be part of it. But the more and more you can kind of push it to the back burner of being like, this isn't necessarily why I'm on this earth every single day, is I think not the fastest or easiest, but a fast track to being able to stop having your body image be the forefront of your brain.
Right. And body image really comes down to like seeing yourself as, and your body as a vehicle for you to have experiences, not the other way around. Like you're, like the way you look doesn't give you those experiences. Your experiences gives you the body that you have and like the life that you love.
Love it.
All right. So gosh, so much information.
I so good.
So good.
I love it.
So tell everyone where to find you and connect with you.
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. And I just changed my handle. It's Mikayla Emily _ now. And Mikayla is MIKAYLA. So Mikayla Emily _. And that's
awesome.
On Instagram.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, we love your content and all of the things you've said today, like just fantastic. It's been very, very fun to talk with you.
All right. Thanks so much. We'll catch you on the gram. She's one to keep in your feed.
For sure.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Bye.